thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
The title of our message today is Death to Life. Say that with me, Death to Life. Death to life. That's what happened to Jesus. Death to life. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and then sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." Now, this is some God humor here. I mean, this angel comes from heaven, there's an earthquake, he rolled the stone back, and then the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Yeah, right, it's easy for you to say. You know, I think, you know, they said that over and over again a lot of times when they appeared to Mary before the birth of Christ. And so many other times, the Lord says in the book of Revelation, don't be afraid. Somehow I get this idea that in heaven, it's kind of a normal thing for, you know, angels to show up. And so don't be afraid. But anyway, that's my humor and I get out of it. Don't be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He's not here, for he is risen. I guarantee he's not there. I've been to the tomb. He's not there. And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." As Pastor Jason said, that was the first Easter message that was ever preached about the resurrection. Now, for 40 days after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, there was an ascension into heaven. But he appeared to a whole lot of people during that 40 days. And I don't think we realize how many people he actually appeared to. So he's raised from the dead, and he begins to move about. Not like he moved about before, walking all the time. He kind of like appeared here and appeared there. He was in Galilee. He was in Jerusalem. He was just all over on the road to Emmaus. So a lot of people he was appearing to. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that there were 500 plus people who actually saw Jesus raised from the dead. I don't know if you've ever kind of dreamt that if you ever could go back in a time of history and just be there, that would have been a great moment. See him die, buried, and then raised from the dead and actually talk to you. So there are 500 people that saw him at that time. Now let me fast forward. So after those 40 days, the ascension into heaven, let's go 40 years past that. And we'll talk about this disciple named John. Now, all of the disciples, as they spread that good news about Jesus, not everybody was happy. Matter of fact, there are a lot of people didn't want to hear that message, and the same thing is true today. It boggles my mind that the greatest news that you can ever give to someone, and people just don't want to hear it. I remember when I first received Christ as my Savior, I was still in the Marine Corps, and I'd gotten back to California, and I couldn't wait to go back, and after I experienced this kind of new life in Christ, and I was living with four other Marines that they had gotten out of the service. We were back from Vietnam. And I just went back there like gangbusters, and I was ready to give them the good news, and I thought they'd all accept it. Well, they didn't. They didn't like me talking about this Jesus, and I couldn't figure it out. The best thing that ever happened to me, and I wanted it to, how many know when it happens to you, you want it to happen to your best friends and family? You just want it to happen. I want it to happen to some of you today. It really is the best thing that can happen to you. But anyway, the 40 years, John, under persecution, is taken because of the gospel and put on an island called Patmos, secluded and away from his family and friends. It was kind of a prison island, if you will. He was sentenced there. And that's where this takes place, this next verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, 18. When I saw him, that is, he saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, here it is, this God humor, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. In other words, I was there in Genesis. I'm here with you in Revelation, and I'll be there to the very end. And I am he who lives and was dead. Now, you know the thing about this? It's important to know that our God was dead. All other gods are dead. Did you get that? Our God was dead. All other gods are dead. People worship a lot of dead gods. And you wonder, how did they get anywhere? You know, our God was dead, but now he's not anymore. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And guess what? He amens himself. Did you get that here? It's like we say something, we say amen, and people respond. No, he says this thing, and he goes, amen? All right. And he said, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And guess what? I have, say it with me, the keys of Hades and of death, or the keys of hell and death. Keys. Jesus just didn't do this for himself and to create another holiday for us. That's not what Easter is about, although we celebrate it as a holiday. But basically, what he was doing, he was on a mission. He had a purpose. And he's saying here, he said, I went to hell itself to take the keys of hell and death, snatch them from the devil. That's what he did, a powerful thing he did. How many know keys unlock things? They unlock things if you do it. He holds, at this moment, Jesus, he said, I took the keys, so he holds the keys of everything in your life that you would say, this is hell. Or everything in your life that you would say, this is death. And I know we all experience that from time. Now you just feel like hell has all come in on you. You feel like something has died. Or maybe today you believe that is dead. You have no hope of seeing it ever alive again. It just died. It's part of your past. You try to move on and you can't move on. Because it's like that stink of that death is still there, and you're not really living life to the fullest as God wants you to. So it's a dead thing. And he said, only I can take your hell and your death and unlock it. I want you to get this. Jesus is the only one that can take your death and hell. Why? Because he has the keys, and he can unlock it. You don't have to talk about a resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago. You can experience the resurrection for yourself. So the Easter message isn't about historic event that happened 2,000 years ago, although we rejoice in what happened 2,000 years, but it's a story for today. It's a reality today that Jesus holds those keys and he wants you to have resurrection life today. I don't know what reasons you felt like you came, but you're here. And you're hearing this, why not today, by faith, believe and look to God to unlock that dead situation in your life? Unlock that hellish situation in your life. You can celebrate Easter, not just what happened, but you can experience new life. A resurrection of everything in your life that you would say, this is hell, and this is death. He has the key. He holds the key. Look at this, 1 John chapter 3, the latter part of the verse says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested or made visible, that he might, say it, destroy the works of the devil. That's what he came to do. Why did he have to destroy the works of the devil? Because you see, we lost something in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, when the first man and woman sinned, we lost something, and then that sin nature was passed down. The devil stole something from us. But Jesus came. He had to die for our sin, absolutely. But he also came to destroy the works of the devil. Everything the devil's been working in your life, and maybe you don't even know he's been working in your life, but I guarantee you he is. He worked against Jesus. You read the life of Jesus, and he was in a difficult situation, being tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. So if Jesus can be tempted, I know you're being tempted. And I know sometimes that temptation leads us into sin, and then that sin begins to bring destruction and death in our life. And before we realize it, there's death. You're in a hellish situation. You don't even know. You're bound up. You're not living to the full potential God created you for. And it must break the heart of God to see people living there. He said, listen, I came to do something about it. First of all, I came to die for your sin, so to remove the shame, the guilt, the condemnation from your life. I came to do that, but I also came to destroy the other works the devil's been working against you. He wants you to have resurrection life. Here's what the Amplified says. He says, for the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy his works, to totally destroy it. So you got to think in that terms. Jesus came to destroy his works. Why, in God's name, am I still in this hellish situation? Why do I still have this bondage in my life? So here's the question I want to pose today. We want to work on this. What is dead or dying in your life? What is dead or dying in your life? I'm not talking about a physical death, because we're here. It's obvious. We're living. We're breathing. Now, I know a lot of people, friends, who have died. They've passed on. I've done their funerals. Godly men and women. But they are very alive today. They might be dead, but they're very alive. They're more alive today than they've ever been. And guess what? I know some very alive people that are very dead. Yeah. It's like Walking Dead. It'd make for a good series or something like that. I'm alive, but I'm dying. Now, my personal belief is that we all have areas or potential areas that are either dead or dying or feel like hell. Your current issue, let's bring it home. Your current issue, something you're facing right now, the most challenging thing. It might be already dead, you think it is, or it's in the process of dying. Maybe your finances, relationships, job. Something is not working out in your life. Now, let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. Just a couple. Let's just bring them up. Number one, there's an emotional death. If you're taking any notes at all, you can put that down, emotional death. If you're not taking notes, put that down, emotional death. Someone who is stressed out. I mean, emotionally, you're breathing, you're physically, but your emotions, they're frayed. Fried, if you will. You're not at ease. Matter of fact, the word disease is dis-ease. You don't have ease anymore. Turmoil on the inside. There's pressure, distraught. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe there's some financial crisis you're in. You might be trying to be okay, and we have a good way that we try to be okay. Especially today, we put on our Easter face. You know, we put on a face and we try to be okay, but we're not okay. On the inside, it's just not going right. You don't know if you're going to make it. Girl last week, just last week, fresh. And it's not unusual for this to happen. I was hanging around down here at the front and after the service, and she came down to me and she said, I would like some prayer. She said, I'm thinking of suicide. And that's not unusual. Now, I prayed with her, and I prayed that God would help her, and she would see a way out in that. But a lot of people just feel like there's no hope. And you're not going to get hope from this world. It's got to come from the one who give you hope, and that's Jesus. He holds the keys. He holds the keys. Then there's what I would call relational death. Relational death is something's gone wrong in a relationship. It's obvious. Maybe through a death. And relational death is like you're caught in the grieving. Sure, there's a right time to grieve, but when holidays come around, there's that grieving that goes on. And so relational death, and it's just kind of got a hold of you. You can't break loose from it. A divorce, that's a relational death. A conflict with a family member. You know, and I believe that the most painful thing, more than physical pain, is relational pain. When you think about it, when you're at odds with someone. And then the most serious of them is a spiritual death. It might be a spiritual death. A spiritual death is that anyone who is separated from God because of sin, you're spiritually dead. And that spirit part of us is the only eternal part of our being. That's what's going to go on living forever somewhere. Now, I plead with you today that you do something about this one, the spiritual death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a separation. And sin's penalty of sin is death. So there's a death that comes with it. But Jesus holds the keys. Jesus came to set you free and give you a new life. The whole resurrection is that who has the power over death but God? I mean, we've advanced quite a bit with the medical advancements that we have. But we haven't advanced to the point where we can bring someone back from the dead. Now, you've heard of miracles of people coming back, but they eventually die. But it's not the physical part of our death. It's the spiritual part. You see, the physical can go in the grave, but there's a spiritual part that goes on living throughout eternity. God wants you to live with him throughout eternity. And he did something about it. So the power of God to raise, to bring new life, can happen to all of us. You feel like God might be a million miles away. And then there are others that you might be a regular church attender. You call yourself a Christian. You might even go to church a lot. But there's something dead or dying. You know there's a separation. You know you're not exactly where you need to be. Maybe you had a bad church experience. You're cynical. You're asked the question, is any of this real? I've had people, it's a fair question. Is God real? That's what the Alpha Course is all about. Give you an opportunity to ask the question, is he real? And we'll talk about it. Dying is spiritual death. It's the most critical of all because that's our eternal part. Now, here's the key. I'll play on words here. Here's the key. Romans 8:11, okay? Say Romans 8:11. You could read it. Study it later. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? Life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. So if Jesus is raised from the dead, it was by the spirit of God he's raised from the dead, and that same spirit is available today that can raise a dead man up and bring him life, can't he come? He dwells in you. And if you have a dead situation or a dying situation or a hellish situation, don't you think that power is available to bring life to you? It is. Sometimes it's even hard to say amen to something like that because we're so in it, we're so trapped, we're so bound in it that it's hard to muster up the faith. But it's true. If we walk away today with anything, is that Easter is not about something 2,000 years ago. Resurrection isn't about just what happened to Jesus. No, resurrection is available today. That life, that spirit is in you. This is what Easter is all about. It's not just an event. That same spirit that enabled Jesus to become alive is available to bring life to your bodies through the spirit who lives in you. Here's the message, paraphrase of that. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience the limitation of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the live and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, which he does when you invite him in, he'll do the same thing for you that he did for Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. That's the reality. Jesus got up. Is that right? By the Spirit of God. You can get up. You can get up. You can't do it on your own power. It's not a program. It's not a set of that. It's just faith believing. You believe that Spirit of God dwelling in me. If you've accepted Christ, it's in you. He can bring life, hope. Your relationships can live again. Your emotions can live again. Your finances can come alive again. You can live again. It's the best way to celebrate Easter is to have your own resurrection today. John 14 and verse 19, Jesus said, this is before he even lived. He said, listen, because I live, he was talking about the future, you also will live. If you know what he's really saying, if you look a little deeper into that, it's almost like if you see me, it's just like Elijah telling Elijah, if you see me go up, then you're going to get the double anointing. If you see or if you know that I'm alive, you can live also. And that's what they saw. He was alive, you can live also. So if this is what we're celebrating today, resurrection, then it should mean something personal to you. Let me say this to you today. Because he lives, you don't have to be lonely. Because he lives, you don't have to be dying anymore. Because he lives, your dreams come back to life again. Because he lives, everything inside of you that is dead or dying can live again. If you want it. If you want it. Now, let me kind of try to tell you how this can happen, a process. It is a process of things. So number one in the process is this, search. Search. There's a search going on. And it's not you searching for him. It's not you searching for him. And here's where a lot of people go wrong when they think about God. They think that God's somewhere at a distance. He's out there somewhere. He's a little bit mad at you because of the things you're doing. And he almost believed that he's saying, I'm over here. And if you decide to behave yourself and you end up come crawling on your knees to me, then maybe I'll think about coming to you. That's wrong about God. How many know that's a bad view of God? But a lot of people had that. I honestly had that view of God before I had a real true revelation of the personal God. I had a view that God only was there. And the only time he showed up in my life was when I had my hand in the cookie jar. Just kind of slap my hand, get your hand out of there, and then I go. And that's what I thought about God, how wrong I was. How wrong people are to think God is out there far off from us. But the opposite is true. He's searching for you. He's actually searching for you. Look at this, Luke 19 and 10. He said, for the Son of Man has come to what? Seek to save that which was lost. So God is out searching for you. Here's how he does it. He'll mess with you. No, he will. He'll start messing with your life. Things will get a little wild, hairy, but it's all for the person. And he searches. So he messes with you to get you at least thinking that you're not going to find any hope in the world. It's just not going to work out. You trying to do it on your own. You got to come to me. So it's like he searches, messes with your life to find you. God sees you in your condition. He knows where you're at. It's no surprise to him. But because he loves you, he searches and he looks for you. The first story in the Bible is the story of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they ran and hid. Right? They ran and hid in the bushes. And God went looking for them. He said, Adam, where are you? They were hiding because the sin brought a shame, a condemnation, and a kind of a... So we hide from God. I heard this story of a pastor who would, after people would visit his church for the first time, and what he would do is he would go out and visit them in their homes. And that was a common practice 40 years ago. You can't do it today because people don't want you coming to their homes. But this is the truth. They don't want you coming. You know, you go in the garage door, you shut it, you go in, you don't want anyone bugging you. But anyway, he did it. And what he did, he went to this lady's house, and he knocked on the door and didn't answer. He rang the doorbell, and he knocked again, didn't answer. But what he did, then his habit was he took a business card, and he wrote on the business card a verse, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So he left the card. Next week, in the Sunday service, there was a card that showed up in the offering basket. It was that card. And it had another verse on it, and the usher took it to the pastor. And here's what this verse, he looked it up, it's Genesis 3:10. I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Very spiritual exchange. But actually, there's a spiritual truth in this. People are afraid, and we hide from God. But guess what? You can't hide from God. I thank God for that. God searches. He's looking right now. He knows exactly where you're at. What does he do when he finds you? Here's another misconception. It's like most people think that he requires us to get our act together, then we can talk and be friends. That's not what happened. Here's the second thing, though, that does happen. He rescues you. He finds you, and then the first thing he wants to do is rescue you. He's not going to totally fix you at that moment. And don't expect. He just wants you to get out of the mess that you're in. Get out of that dead situation. Get out of that hellish situation. He wants to take you, and guess what? He wants to take you, your mess, and everything about you. Why? Because he loves you just the way you are, believe it or not. Just the way you are. Pull you out. See, you can't get your act together and then come to God. You come to God, then you get your act together. He helps us get our act together. God sees the awful, rusted, corroded mess that we're in. And guess what? He still wants us. There's a value he sees. You can't rescue what you don't see value in, and he sees value, potential. Thirdly, so he'll search, he rescues, and then there's restoring. He wants to restore you. Now, this doesn't happen in one day. We're so used to things, we want it like that. Instant gratification, instant deliverance, instant happiness. No, it doesn't happen. He'll search for you. He'll move on your heart. He'll reveal his love to you. And that kind of, wow, perks you up, brings life to you. He rescues you. He pulls you out of that. And then he begins to restore you. And the process begins that day. He begins to take all the junk of our lives, little by little. He starts working on it and making it something valuable. You've seen these artists that they take pieces of junk, even go to the junkyard. They take it, but they take it, they rescue it, they take it out of the junkyard, and then they begin to work on it. Maybe sand the rust off it a little bit. So that's, and make a beautiful piece of art out of it. The truth is we all need restoration. Now, because I know there are people sit here and say, well, I'm not that bad of shape. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't beat my wife, and so we kind of put ourselves in another category, and I believe that all of us have some issue that's either dead or dying, and if you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue, right? As a matter of fact, that's the worst of conditions you can be in, is to think you don't need help, and that you have your act together. You say, I'm emotionally okay. Relationship, I have a good family. But how about spiritually? Are you alive in your spirit? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? When he returns, are you ready to go with him and be with him forever and ever? That's what God created you. He created you to live eternally. Are you ready for that? Spiritually. So here's the last thing. He redeems us. Redeem means purchase back. He paid a price, and Jesus paid a heavy price, taking something that is broken and messed up, making something out of it, making it valuable again. He can turn your life into something that matters. You see, he's redeeming, he's buying back, he's bringing you back to his original intentions. Get this now. He's bringing you back to his original intention. God had something in mind when he created you. Yeah, he created you. There was life that came. But while you were in the womb, God uniquely put things that make up your DNA and giftings and all that, and they were uniquely given to you with a purpose in mind. The devil comes along, and he wants to break it down. He wants to destroy it. He wants to make a mess out of your life. He wants to deceive you into believing you don't need God. He does all those things to keep you from being what God wants you to be. And that's a dangerous place to be. But Jesus came. The resurrection is all about. He came, he died, he rose again, and the same spirit in Jesus lives in us and will bring that life. Search, rescue, restore, redeem. Let me give you our last verse for today. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is. How incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him, that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead is available. He holds the keys. That's what Jesus, he said, I took the keys. If you could just see that, he took that power back. Why we constantly give in to the enemy, lying to us, deceiving us, getting us off track, to think that maybe we're where we're supposed to be, when you know that you can be where God wants you to be. Would you bow your heads, please?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.